I love being a dad. I understand that my most important role is being a great husband to my wife first, and then being a great dad to my kids second, and then whatever I do for a living.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for The Art of Fatherhood. And on the line, I'm very happy to have Don Beebe. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, Don. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Art.
First off, before we get into fatherhood, we're going to talk a little football. And congrats on becoming the head coach over at Aurora University. A lot of people know you from your time with the Bills and Packers, of course. Talk a little bit about how being a player has helped you with becoming a head coach, sir.
Well, I mean, as a coach now, I know what the feel was as a player. So I'm a little more sensitive to how these players think and how they feel during practice and how during the struggles of going to school, especially freshmen. I mean, they're coming away the first time away from home. I remember those feelings like it was yesterday, even though it's 30-some years ago. So I'm more sensitive to that, I suppose. And I really kind of take them in my office or put my arm around them as I'm walking off the field and just kind of help them through that process. So being a player and a coach, I think it gives me that ability to do that.
Nice. But talk a little about for you, you know, you mentioned, you know, going back to your time was, you know, going to college and playing football and all that. Did you have any jitters now as a head coach? You're just like, all right, this is the other side of the coin, right? So, yeah, you are the boss, but talk a little about, did you have any jitters going from the, you know, the transition to becoming a head coach there?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, Art, because I feel like at times it's out of your control. As a player, you know, you get nervous in a sense, but it's in your control. So you can kind of control your outcome, let's say. And I always felt that if I was hustling and doing everything I could live with my mistakes because I was trying. And that's the same way I try to coach. But as a coach, I know when I'm standing on the sideline, I'm like, man, I wish I could be out there, you know, to help.
Yeah.
I suppose it's a little more anxiety, but not nervous. I'm not really nervous. Maybe because I've done it so many times. I just enjoy it. I enjoy being out there. I love the competitiveness. And I love helping young men achieve, you know, great things. I mean, that really pleases me.
Nice, Don. And one of the things that, of course, that we love seeing kids succeed. And of course, your son is following up in your footsteps in the NFL as a wide receiver for the Vikings. What advice? Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, you put on the parent hat, but then, of course, you put on the NFL player hat. Let's talk about the NFL player hat for a second. What advice did you give him as a former player in the league?
Actually, I was just talking to him. I just got off the phone with him. We try to talk. You know, obviously, I'm being a head coach in college is tough on my time, and him being an NFL player is tough on his time, but we still probably talk 3-4 times a week. And, you know, for me, ever since he was a little kid, I just first just honor God with everything you do. The best advice I can give him.
Yeah.
Two, just never give up, you know, always try, because you can always live with the result, good or bad. And then three is just work really hard. You know, I always said to him, you know, every day when you go to practice, son, just make at least one great play every day that just kind of sticks out to everybody, you know, and that goes a long way, and it'll cover up a lot of mistakes you're going to make every day in practice, you know?
Yeah.
He's kind of lived by that. What I'm most proud of him is he's had a lot of setbacks. I mean, a lot of major injuries throughout his career. I mean, he's never played in his high school career or his college career. And now his first year in the league last year without having at least a major injury that kept him out of several games. So we're just praying that this is his first year, that that's going to happen. He's had a great camp, and he's been very healthy, and he's really ready to start, you know, this season coming up Sunday.
Nice, man. And yeah, I mean, you know, we always, as parents, we strive for that practice what you preach, right? And one of the things that you said was never give up. Of course, you know, growing up in Buffalo, my mom, God rest her soul, and of course, my family are big Bills fans. So, you know, that one play where you followed Leon Lett, you know, and you knocked the ball out because he was kind of showboating, that was probably one of the ultimate, mm-hmm. like, never give up moments, right?
Well, you know, it's funny you bring that up, Art, because it's one thing that everybody wants to talk about. And I always find it funny because it really meant nothing.
True.
In that game.
Yeah.
The play itself meant nothing. But yet in the world that we live in and playing sports, it made people think that it was everything. Here I am, I don't even know, what is it, 26, 27 years later, and we're still talking about that crazy play?
Yep.
And Art, and this is the honest truth, every day I get at least one fan mail letter speaking to me about that play. It's unreal. The miles that play has gotten. And, you know, it's given me a great platform to talk to young men and teams, and I'm headed to Florida Monday to speak at a quarterback club.
Nice.
And I'm going to, you know, I'm sure I'm going to be talking about that play. And just, it just, that play just touches everybody's life, you know, because that play really represents life.
Yes.
Right? No, never give up.
Yep.
You just got to keep moving forward. And it's just giving me a great platform, Mark, to speak on.
You know, again, the Bills going 4 years straight for the Super Bowl, and a lot of people are like, oh, they didn't win. But, like, just the tenacity and the hard work that it takes to get there, I think is a fantastic feat. But you actually made it with the Super Bowl ring with the Packers. What do you take most away from that Super Bowl win, knowing, you know, you're on the other side of that coin, you know, with the Bills?
Well, first of all, when you're the first and only one to do something, it's pretty special.
Yeah.
And when you're the only team in NFL history to go to 4 Super Bowls in a row, that's a pretty special team. And I think the NFL Hall of Fame committee has confirmed that by so many guys from that team going into the Hall of Fame.
For sure.
Plus the general manager, plus the head coach, plus the owner. That was a special group. Very rarely seen, not just in football, in any sport. That was a rare group. Now, with respect to the Super Bowl, I think the difference between the two teams in Green Bay and Buffalo, we just couldn't handle the emotion of the game very well. I mean, all the games up until that point, you know, regular season and playoffs, it was fine. But when it got to the game, for some reason, we struggled emotionally. I mean, I think, especially when it got to the second and third and definitely in the fourth one,
sure,
our emotions, we let get too low when something bad would happen. We're in Green Bay, we didn't let that happen. And we faced adversity. First of all, every team faced adversity at any game, especially Super Bowl. But we handled it better in Green Bay. And that's why we were able to go on and win. But if you were to ask me what was more talented team, hands down, Buffalo had more talent. But we just didn't handle that game very well.
Thank you for sharing that. And we'd love to get everybody's take on fatherhood. And I know we kind of mentioned, you know, your son following your footsteps. But take me back when you found out you're going to be a dad for the first time, Don. What was kind of going through your mind, sir?
Well, my first child was a daughter. I'm big on having kids. I wanted 10, but my wife made me settle on 4. So I could have had 10, but I just love kids. I mean, I love coaching kids. I love being a dad. I understand that my most important role is being a great husband to my wife first, and then being a great dad to my kids second, and then whatever I do for a living. So I mean, I've always kept that perspective, you know, faith, family, friends, and football. For me, I say this all the time. I could have went and coached in the NFL in 2005, and I just chose not to because I knew it was important for me to be a dad first.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be around my 4 kids. I got 3 daughters and Chad, and I love being around them, and they love being around dad. So I just knew that was way more important for me.
Love it, Don. Such a great answer. Appreciate that. And we were talking about never giving up and certain things that you were talking to your son about when you entered the league. But talk about some of the core values you were looking to instill into your kids as they were growing up.
First of all, faith, mm-hmm. number one in our house. 2, relationships are very important in your life. You know, when you go through life, it's important to treat people the way you would want to be treated. So, you know, I wanted to teach my kids to just be a good character person and be a person that people would look up to, that would want to bend your ear for some advice and just help people out, you know? So live by morals and character. Obviously never giving up. Never giving up was never an option for me when I was young, and it's never an option for my kids, which means, for example, you know, if they started a sport and they weren't the star on the team, or maybe they were on the B team or didn't get to play much at all, you know, that was no reason whatsoever to quit that team halfway through the season. You know, you stick it out, you'll learn something. It's sometimes you have to go through those things to make you a better player later on in life. And so that's what we taught our 4 kids. I always try to tell my kids and teach my kids that I'll work the other kid. You know, in the off season, I'll work that other kid. And then when he comes back the next year, beat him out. I just wanted my kids to earn things in life, work really hard, and let God take care of the rest.
Great, great morals right there, sir. Thanks very much for sharing that. For new dads listening to this, what is one big piece of advice you'd offer to them?
Well, the best advice I can give dads out there is the one quality that we don't have a lot of, and it goes very quickly, is time.
Mm.
Is your son and your daughter, when they're young, the most important thing that they want to do is spend time with mom and dad.
Yeah.
And so give that to them. And I remember this story one time. I think it was James Dobson and his wife. I believe his wife's name was Ann. And, you know, he had a big speech coming up. And James Dobson, I don't know if you know who that is, but he's a great speaker.
Yeah.
And he had a big speaking engagement coming up. He was working in his den, and his son was on the backyard, and he's like, "Dad, come out and play," you know, something like this. And James is like, "Yeah, I can't right now. I got this big speaking engagement tomorrow." And his wife came to the door, as any smart partner would, says, "James, I just want you to know that if you don't spend time with him now, he probably won't spend time with you later in life." And that quote never really left me.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to spend a lot of time with my kids, because I knew later on in life, as I'm getting there now, because I'm an empty nester.
Yeah.
You know, they want to spend a lot of time with dad still. And that's great.
Yeah. I think having that, I have two daughters and their ages 11 and 9, and having that time with them, and I work from home, thankfully. And so I'll be able to hang out with them when they get off the school bus and help them out with their homework. But 100% agree. You want to build that relationship with them. So I really love that answer. Thanks for sharing that. All right. Now we're going to get into the fatherhood quick five. Favorite family movie is?
Oh, wow. I love great movies. I mean, my favorite movie, believe this or not, is Dances with Wolves.
Nice.
I was always the Indian and everybody else was the Cowboys growing up. So I loved the Indian. And I always loved being the Indian. And so that's kind of, I love that movie with Kevin Costner, Dances with Wolves. But there's a lot of great movies.
Yeah.
You know, I love Tommy Boy. family movie with, I love comedy. But family movie, you know. Growing up, my dad always used to watch John Wayne movies, you know, with his kids. And so I kind of like the old Westerns with my children. My kids like to watch the old Westerns.
Excellent. Cool. Did you have a favorite family song, or was there an artist or a band you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to when they got to a certain age, sir?
Well, I'm a big 70s guy.
Okay.
You know, so growing up in the 70s and early 80s, you know, I just loved Frankie Valli and, you know, groups like that. So anything in the 70s is good with me.
Nice.
You know, I could have that on Spotify all day.
Isn't that cool? Like, just the idea of, like, having 70s on Spotify, right? Because back then, there was nothing like that, right?
No, there was nothing. I had 8-track tapes. That was all I had. So awesome. It was absolutely the best.
Very cool. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Well, that's easy for me and the Beebe family. So my dad, when he was 24 years old, he knew that he wanted to make a commitment that he was going to raise his kids in a Christian home. So one of the things that he said is that he was going to start taking a family fishing trip together. So he took, when I was 5 years old, my two older sisters, and I had a younger brother then, the youngest brother wasn't born yet. So there was five kids.
Yeah.
So we went up to Minnesota on our first fishing trip, and that was in, I think, 1969. And here we are, we just finished last year. I think it was, I don't even know, 51 years of it. And we've been doing that same trip for 50-some years, and nobody's ever missed. And now the Beebe family has grown from five kids and mom and dad. Now there's 53 family members that go up, and nobody in the 53 has ever missed. That's family.
Yes, sir. That is fantastic. Love that. It's probably one of the best vacation answers out of the quick five to date. Well done, Don.
Yeah.
I got to ask you this. You know, I know that, you know, reading up on your bio and stuff, especially over at Aurora University, know that you're a grandfather. So the best thing about being a grandfather over dad is what?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I hear grandparents say this all the time, and I've never really understood this. Is they always said, you know, man, the greatest thing about being a grandfather or a grandparent is that they come over, you get to spoil them, and then they go home.
Yeah.
Man, when my granddaughter comes over, Peyton, I don't ever want her to leave. So I never understood that, you know. And we're about to have a grandson here. My daughter is due over the break, so we're going to have two grandchildren. I absolutely adore them, just like I did my own children. I don't look at them any differently, to be honest with you. When they come over, I wish they could stay just like our children did. So I never understood why grandparents say that.
Well said, sir. Again, love it. And lastly, what are the top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a father?
Without doubt, first, faith, a man of faith, mm-hmm. a man of commitment, and a man of passion.
Awesome.
I think those would be the three words.
Great right there, sir. People, make sure you follow Don on Twitter at DonBeebeNFL and go to his website, DonBeebe.com. And, of course, pick up his book. It's such a great read. And, you know, I know we're talking about, you know, the Leon Lett play, but 2012, he published a book called Six Rings from Nowhere. Definitely check it out. I know we'll put links here, pick it up. But good luck with this season, being the head coach of at Aurora University. And, again, I know you're a busy guy, but thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir.
Yeah. No, you bet, Art. Good talking to you.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.